Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
This is what Jeremiah said. He said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." He said, but his word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said, "I was weary when I tried to hold against it." He said, "I couldn't do it." And I think about those words of Jeremiah. And I think those words have probably saved many preachers and teachers from throwing in the towel and quitting over the years. When Jeremiah wrote those words, I want to tell you, he had had it up to here. He was ready to quit. But what I want to do is I want to look at that verse, that's Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, in its full context. So if you will, please turn to the book of Jeremiah with me. And we're going to be looking in chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. He said, "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, 'Violence and plunder!' Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, 'I will not make mention of him, nor speak in his name. Anymore in his name.' But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and could not. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. 'Report,' they say, 'and we will report it.' All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, 'Perhaps he can be induced. We will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him.' But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will be forever forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, 'A male child has been born to you,' making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb and see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame?" Wow, I don't know about you, but when I read those words, I think, Jeremiah, are you suffering from a bit of schizophrenia? I mean, did you see how he went back and forth and back and forth? I mean, there are statements where there's doubt and there's despondency. And then they're intermingled and intertwined, and there are declarations of faith. Stubborn declarations of faith. Well, he trusts in God, and you look at that and you say, how inconsistent, how incongruent are these verses? Yet I want to say, what preacher, faithful preacher of God's holy word, has not felt doubt and self-contradiction at times? You know, maybe it's on a Monday after one of those 16-hour Sundays of preaching and teaching and bearing burdens of others. Maybe it's in the wake of maybe some disgruntled members who decided that they're going to leave the church and go elsewhere because of some trivial matter. Maybe it's because you work and work and work and you can't seem like you're accomplishing anything and you feel like you're a failure. Maybe because the only words you hear are words of criticism. I want to say that if you were in eldership and you were looking for a preacher and you came across a resume that looked like this passage, would you want that preacher to come to your church? You see, Jeremiah is struggling and he is struggling mightily. And I want to tell you why. It's because Jeremiah was a prophet during one of the most difficult times in the history of Judah. Let me say that his assignment would make our difficult assignments today look like a vacation. You see, the northern kingdom was already gone, overthrown by Assyria. The southern kingdom was about to be ground underfoot by Nebuchadnezzar. And so God came to Jeremiah and God said, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to instruct the people about. I want you to tell them that they need to surrender to Babylon because defeat was certain. God was not going to stop it. He says, you tell them that if they completely surrender, they can live. Although they will still go into captivity, they will live. However, if they do not completely surrender, they and their city will be totally destroyed. Can I say to you tonight that the message that Jeremiah preached was not a very popular message? I mean, especially when you consider that here's the king trying to raise an army to defend the city. And the more people that listen to Jeremiah are the people who were less willing to pick up arms. So Jeremiah's message kind of looked like he was on the side of the enemy, spouting propaganda, an agent from the other side. Let me just say that the message from Jeremiah was not popular with anybody in Judah. And if the palace's hatred for the truth was not enough for Jeremiah to deal with, let me tell you, it didn't get any better when it came to the leaders in the temple. I mean, you might think, well, the priests and the prophets, they would kind of be tight with each other because, you know, for the sake of the Word of God. But some of his greatest opposition and persecution came from within. The Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul would know something about that, wouldn't they? And so here he is in this passage that we just read, and he has many complaints toward God. Why? God said, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to buy a clay pot. And I want you to gather some of the priests and the elders. And I want you to go to the gate, the postured gate, in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. And when you have gathered them there, and matter of fact, it's interesting to note that that particular gate is a gate where Israelite children had been sacrificed to Baal. So maybe he thought if the political leaders were not going to listen, maybe the religious leaders would listen to him. So there with all of the priests and the elders gathered, what he did was, in the sight of all of them, he took that clay pot, and you remember the story, he broke it. He broke it. And this is what the Lord told him to say. He said, says the Lord of hosts, so shall I break this people and this city as one who breaks a pottery vessel which is broken into pieces and cannot be repaired. This is how I will treat this place and its inhabitants, declares the Lord. Let me tell you, that message was not very appealing. If you will go back into Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8, what you will discover is the complaint that he has to the Lord. He says, you know what, Lord? He says, my message, there's a problem with it. It's always negative. It's always negative. Do you see what he says? He says, look, each time I speak, he said, I cry aloud. He says, I proclaim violence and destruction. Poor Jeremiah. He lived in a time, unless the people repented, which they were not going to, the only thing he had to say was that which was negative. But you know what? Jeremiah was a faithful prophet. And to drive this point home, he went from the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He went up to the courtyard of the temple. And there, in front of all the people, he proclaimed this impending judgment and calamity upon the people. And there was a man there, the chief officer of the temple guard, a man by the name of Pashur. He was there and he heard it. And he was not a faithful man of God. Because when he heard it, you know what he did? He went right then and he arrested Jeremiah. He beat him. And to make matters worse, he took him and he put him in stocks and put him in a public place where all who would witness him would humiliate him. And it was after he was released that he penned those famous words that Lord, your word is like a fire in my bones. No matter what happens, I cannot quit preaching the word of God. Oh, if there were only more people in the Lord's church today like Jeremiah. I mean, people who would preach the truth of God's word, no matter if they were ridiculed, no matter if they were rejected, no matter if they had to stand alone all by themselves, they would do it with courage because they would know what was right. Men who would stand against the mixing of truth and error together, even if nobody else stood with them, even the elders of the church, they had to stand all by themselves. They would do it. That's the kind of man that Jeremiah was. And so what I want to do tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to look at some characteristics of Jeremiah's life as to why he was a faithful prophet, things that you and I can learn from. And I want to encourage all those people who are preaching the Word of God to continue to be faithful. Whether they be here in this audience or listening online. But also, I would imagine that there are some young people here in this audience who also need encouragement, who may be thinking about in the back of their minds that I too want to be a preacher of God's Word. So why was he faithful? Why was he a successful prophet of God, even though his message was sometimes doom and gloom? First, the reason that he was faithful because he had God's word in his heart. Go back and look at verse 9. He says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said, I was weary of holding it back. He said, I could not. Now, I want to ask you the question. What is Jeremiah referring to when he says it? What was it that he could not hold back? What it was that he could not hold back was the knowledge of the Word of God. What he knew. You see, that's the way the Word of God is in some men's hearts. Remember what the Lord said in Jeremiah 23:29? He said, is not my word a fire? See, there is something about the Word of God in certain men's hearts that they cannot just drop it like they would drop anything else. It's something that they can't keep inside of them. They can't keep it contained. They must let it out. And that was Jeremiah. They couldn't quit. You know, many years ago when I was in school, it's kind of interesting that one of our professors one day said, you know, boys, he said, I know you're here and I know you want to preach, but you know what? If there's anything else and you can do in life, anything at all, I want you to go ahead and leave today and you go do it. Well, I thought, I've already paid my tuition. Why would he say that? I didn't probably completely comprehend what he was saying. But the message that he was trying to say is that the Word of God takes an enormous amount of effort and energy in a preacher's life. That his devotion cannot be divided. It cannot be. That it's on your mind in the day and you think about it at night. You can't just dabble in it. You're absorbed in it. It is your life. There is nothing that will compare to it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he said, you know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That would be in a body of flesh and blood. And what Paul was saying is, look, though you and I are clay pots beset by human weakness and frailty, we are the receptacles of the most precious gift in all of the world. And it will not be diminished, it will not be hidden, and it will not be suppressed. And I'm not just saying that for my own benefit tonight. But I'm thinking tonight, maybe there is a young man here at West Huntsville, there have been before, and there will be again, who's maybe been contemplating and thinking about the fact that, you know, one day I think I might want to preach the Word of God. I think I can do that. Can I tell you something tonight? If that's been going through your mind, young man, you keep thinking like that. You keep pursuing the Word of God. I mean, you find everything that you can out about the Word of God and you be hungry for it. And you go down that road. And every time there is an opportunity for you to speak, it may, you know, the youth speak a couple of times a year here on an evening service. You volunteer. If you go into the nursing homes, you volunteer to speak. If it's last to leader, you go ahead and you volunteer to do a speech. Develop those skills and those talents and those opportunities that God has put before you. And what you may discover is that the Word of God in you too may grow, may well up. And that you find that you can't shut it off. And that you must go on and on preaching it. What is it that kept Jeremiah going? What is it? You see, Jeremiah knew this. He knew that destruction, utter destruction, was on its way. He also knew that there was still time if the people repented that they could avoid it. He knew too much to shut up. You see, he was burning up with a desire and passion for what he knew. He was a man of character that knew that he knew he could not live with himself if he ever stopped preaching the truth of God's holy word. And so that's what I admire about him. And that burning passion that he had, look, it overruled rejection. It overruled opposition. It overruled criticism. It overruled fear of death. But that's the kind of man that Jeremiah was. He had this burning ember in his bones of the Word of God. And nothing was going to keep him from preaching God's Word. You say, well, Paul, didn't he have weakness? I mean, I read here that he really was struggling, wasn't he? Well, yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was a man who went through times of doubt and confusion and weakness. But at the end, he discovered that he could not quit preaching the Word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul knew something about that because what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he says, look, I am under compulsion. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And I think about Acts chapter 4, verse 20, when Peter and John were there, and remember how they were threatened that they should no more preach in the name of Jesus in the city of Jerusalem? And what did they say? We cannot help but preach what we have seen and what we have heard. It's like a man, just to kind of give you a visual picture, it's like a man who hears the cries and screams of people trapped in a burning building. It's like the man with the Word of God in his heart. He cannot walk away and do nothing. He might be called a fanatic. He might be called a fool. But he finds that he cannot walk away even in the face of danger. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does the Word of God dwell in your hearts in that way? If not, with a bit of diligence, I tell you, it can. It can. Well, he was a faithful man because he had the Word of God in his heart. But he was also faithful because he had decided that he was going to preach the whole counsel of God. You see, Jeremiah had a burden seldom borne by preachers living today. And I've already stated that. That is, all of his message was negative. All of it. I mean, when you talk about a preacher of doom, Jeremiah, he was a preacher of doom. And it wasn't because he was pessimistic. It wasn't because he was a morbid character. It's because that was the assignment. That was what was put in his mouth by Jehovah God. And I tell you that it is a tremendous burden to tell people what they do not want to hear. Did you know that? Have you ever had to do that in life? Tell people what they don't want to hear? And I want to say that is the reason there is such incredible pressure on preachers today to preach to people's, listen to this, felt needs. You know what that is? That's the needs, that's the preaching that people want a preacher to do because that's what they feel. Why don't you preach to what we feel that we need? And so there's a lot of pressure today. And if you don't preach to people's felt needs, they'll turn you off and they won't listen. So what you must do is you must carefully edit everything out of your sermon that might offend. Edit everything out that might give stress. Edit everything out that might make a person uncomfortable. At least that is the mantra that's coming from the church growth circles today. But we cannot be teachers and preachers of God faithfully like that. You know, I've even talked to some preachers who have gone that way, and what they say is, you know what? I still preach the Word of God with conviction. And I don't doubt that they do. I mean, some of these preachers are great orators, and they preach powerful, powerful lessons. But it's not many times about what they preach, but it's about what they don't preach. You see, they don't talk about sin anymore. Because if they talked about sin, a person might squirm in their pew and not want to come back. They don't talk about the judgment anymore because their listeners don't want to hear someone who they think is judgmental. They don't talk about eternity anymore because their listeners want to think about the right here and the right now. You get that? Do you understand the pressures put on preachers? And they no longer talk about the exclusivity of the gospel and the oneness of the church. They no longer talk about hell because, well, some don't believe in hell anymore. But it's preaching to people's felt needs about the right here and the right now. It's about how to have a happy family. How to have a successful business. How do you cope with divorce and drug addiction and depression? And I'm not saying that those things are unimportant. Because those things can be preached on. But it's about what's not preached. Jesus said, what profits a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? It's the needs of the soul that are the most important needs. And ironically, they are seldom ever felt unless exposed by the clear teaching of the gospel. Does that make sense? Paul reminds us in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Remember when the message he delivered there to the Ephesian elders? What did he say? Remember what he said? He said, look, he said, I am innocent of the blood of all men because I did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. And I thought to myself this week, I thought, you know, if it's the whole counsel of God, if that's what it takes to make a preacher or teacher innocent of men's blood, what will become of those people who, by design, for maybe church growth purposes or peer pressure or by neglect, not preach those things that may be unpopular to people's ears? And so sometimes compromise is made in order to build big numbers in the church. And so a church might do this. They might just welcome in people into the membership, into the body, though they have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that person may like all of the programs of the church that they have to offer, and they may talk to their friends, and their friends come. And so all of a sudden, what you have is you have this growing number, this large gathering. And I want to say that once you have the large gathering, it becomes impossible to correct the compromise. Because if you correct the compromise, all of those people will what? They will leave. And so the compromise is perpetuated. Do you see that? And then the preacher and the elders, what happens then is they no longer see a need to correct the compromise, and then sometimes they will even argue against it. And that's what happens. If we ever compromise on preaching the whole counsel of God, and I thank the Lord that Jeremiah wasn't like that. And the last thing that made Jeremiah a faithful preacher and prophet is that he feared God's disapproval more than he did man's disapproval. I want to say that we need to sometimes remember that we preach a gospel that is offensive by its very nature. Remember in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus went back to his hometown to Nazareth? Remember how the people were just blown away by his words and his wisdom. They couldn't believe it. But then Jesus began to say things like this. You know what? The gospel is going to be offered to the Gentiles soon. And the people got angry. They didn't want to hear that at all. And so in Mark's gospel, chapter 6, verse 3, it says, they took offense. They took offense at him. And Luke's gospel said they got so angry that they took him to the brow of the hill and they were going to push him off the cliff. And you know what happened to our Lord? He continued to preach faithfully and they crucified him. Over and over and over again, Paul and his companions went into city after city and they met two kinds of people. They met the people who would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they would accept it. And then they met those who would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they would reject it. Sometimes they were asked to leave. Sometimes they were arrested. Sometimes they were beaten. Sometimes they were stoned. Listen, offense and preaching the true gospel go together. Paul quoted Isaiah in the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 33. He said, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And what he was describing there was Jesus Christ. And Peter almost said the very same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. Peter said to his readers, he said, look, Jesus Christ, you people who will not believe, will become a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. If we preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, some people are going to be offended. Now look, that doesn't mean that we should be obnoxious or obtuse or intentionally offensive to people, that is not what that means. That just means that if we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety and its fullness, that some people will be offended. Conversely, if you wish to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and you don't want to offend anybody, you know what you have to do? You have to change the gospel. That's what it takes. And so in some churches today, that's what's going on. People are so sensitive to make sure, you know, they are deathly afraid to offend anybody, that they no longer teach all of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the only thing that I can take from that is they fear more the disapproval of men than the disapproval of God. But Jeremiah was the direct opposite. It didn't matter what man might say to him, the ridicule, the rejection, but it was if God was pleased with him. Take your Bibles and go over a few chapters. I want you to look, we're about to close, in Jeremiah chapter 26. In verse 7 and verse 9, and the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all of the people, the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You must die." I think, wow, how is it that Jeremiah could have a lengthy ministry? I mean, he prophesied for some 40 years with this kind of opposition. What was it about him? He feared the disapproval of God more than the disapproval of man. That's what it had to be. You say, well, Paul, doesn't this kind of give us a license that we can just kind of run over everybody like a Mack truck? No. Because if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, what you will discover is what Paul tells Timothy. He says, look, he says, a bondservant of the Lord, he says, must not be quarrelsome. You don't go looking for a fight. You must be kind to all people. You must be patient. You must be gentle. So our attitudes must be right. But understand that the gospel will offend some people. So what stands out to me about Jeremiah is the fact that he had much negative to say all of the time. And though he was a weak man, though he said, God, I wish I was never born, I wish I could quit this, he finished the course. And that is my prayer for myself and Glenn and all the other preachers, is to stick to the Word of God, to be faithful all of the days. I don't know that our culture and our society is getting more friendly with the true preaching. I don't think that's happening. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Continue to preach the Word of God. And maybe there's a tug on your heart, young man. Maybe there's a tug on your heart. And you think, I want to be in the pulpit of West Huntsville one day, or I want to be a missionary someday, and I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you take every opportunity that you can. You learn, you go down that road, and God will bless you, and He will reward you. The last thing, you ready for this? Think to yourself about a preacher of the gospel who's really influenced you somewhere in your life. Maybe when you were a child, it may be your daddy, it may be your granddaddy, it may be somebody. Maybe you don't even know the person all that well, but you know where that person is. Would you do this week? Would you sit down and write a note to that gospel preacher, and would you encourage him and what he's doing? Maybe let him know what an impact that he's had on your life. Encourage him to keep on, to not give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. But be like Jeremiah. And that's what God wants for every gospel preacher and from every single Christian to be faithful, to finish the course, to be faithful unto death. That's my goal, and I know that's your goal. As a gospel preacher, I want to help prepare you for eternity. Are you prepared tonight? If you're not a Christian, would you become a Christian tonight? Be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins? Rise to walk in the newness of life? With all the blessings of a Christian and the body of Christ? With a great inheritance in heaven? Will you do that today if you have not? If you need to come home to the Lord, do so as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.